Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire with Richard Shawright.
Oh, welcome back. If you've just joined us, it's Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire, 5 past 5 on this Sunday afternoon. And we have had 14 rounds of the Super League competition now. And top of the table, we've got a three-way tie. Warrington, Catalans and Hull, 10 wins, 4 defeats. St Helens and Wigan, both with 18 points, 4th and 5th. Wakefield up to 6th. Castleford winners, 7th and 8th. Hull KR winners today, 9th. And the bottom three all lost this weekend. Salford, Huddersfield and Leeds all on 6 points. Get your thoughts in at RL on RY as we look back on the weekend in Rugby League between now and 7 o'clock. And what a dramatic one it has been. Let's head back to Bellevue now. Gary Schofield is still there. It's a bit quieter now, which is good news. And I guess, Gary, we'll start with this afternoon's game. And what exactly has changed between Brian Smith leaving the club and Wakefield being bottom of the table? And then now, I know Salford have had the points deduction, but Wakefield are 6th in the table and in exceedingly good form.
Well, Rich, if I could tell you that what has changed totally and bottled it, then I guess I won't be sat here every Sunday afternoon talking to you, mate, and that's no disrespect. But no, you could just see the smiles on the face. You could see the expression of the players in the body languages that, yeah, they just want to play smart, attractive rugby league. And what Chris has done is said, listen, go out there and play with plenty of confidence. I'm giving you that authority to go out there to play the width of the pitch, which is, what, 77, 78 yards, and we know the pitch itself is 100 yards, but what Wakefield have got, they've got a very well-balanced team, and what Chris Chesson has brought to this team is simple, is, you know, we'll run hard, we'll tackle hard, we'll support, and we'll catch, and we'll score tries with creativity, vision and awareness. And as I've said it before, Jacob Miller, there's always been a player in Jacob Miller because, as I've said, you know, you don't sign for West Tigers for nothing. You don't play for the Australian schoolboys for nothing without being a good player. And it's that enjoyment, and that freedom of expression, what Chester's given him. And you could see it from the players who were from under Brian Smith that it was boring, it was robotic, there was no enjoyment. And as I say, what Chris Chester has done, all he's done, it's not a magic wand. He's saying, I can see the talent what's in this team. I'm going to let you go out there, give you the free rein, play what you see, play with that awareness. And I tell you what, Rich, they are playing smart, attractive rugby league, and they are an absolute pleasure to watch. You know me, I like to see smart, attractive rugby league. I want to see players asking questions of defences by good ball movement, lying deep, running hard and straight. And that's exactly what I'm seeing at Wakefield, and then a pleasure to watch. And you can see the response from the supporters. Well, you as a supporter, you didn't expect certainly to be in the sixth position at this time of year. But it's not just that they're in sixth, it's the way they're playing rugby league, and it's a pleasure to watch them. And the standing ovation, what these spectators have given these players, is fully deserved.
Well, you mentioned Dave Topliss there in commentary, and I was lucky enough that when I started watching Wakefield, he was the coach and had that great run to winning the Yorkshire Cup in 1992, and he was a coach, and as a player obviously before that, who played rugby league in that style. And I guess, as you say, if he was there watching now, he'd be very happy the way Wakefield have played.
Would he ever? And I say he'd be looking down on this great pitch as well with my great friend and late friend in David Topliss, and he'll have a huge smile on his face. And as I mentioned before, I see Neil Fox down here, and I see Foxy at a few dudes as well. I like the rest of us, you know, who's played a few years ago. And as we say, and then when I speak to Murph and like the Lewis Jones and all this, you know, yeah, the game has become a bit robotic and boring, and we want to see the sort of style of rugby league what to wait for the producing. Warrington, they play smart, attractive rugby league as well, and they say throw the ball around a little bit. So they're an absolute pleasure to watch, and it's great to see a smile back on Fox's face, because this is how rugby league should be played.
I mean, I'm a great pessimist, but so like we were saying before the game, I almost describe it as a free go for Wakefield this afternoon, because you're not expected to win. You go out there, play your brand of rugby, and if you give it a go and you lose, so what? But they've gone out there and beaten the league leaders. And granted, this is a Warrington side who didn't have Stephen Ratchett in there today, so again, another change in their half-back partnership. But it sounds like, Wakefield got straight off on the right foot and never looked back from there.
Well, they did, absolutely. And as I said before the game, we asked a question with Ben Curry playing at number 7. Well, I'm sure Tony Smith had the confidence to put Curry there, and Curry would have said to him, yeah, I fancy myself, I can play at number 7 for 80 minutes. But as I mentioned in comments, if you've got that right balance with your halfbacks, and that's what Wakefield have got with Jacob Miller and Liam Finn, because Miller's the main man, he's the main go-to man. But when the pressing is taken, kicking off, when there's a little a point where Liam Fiddle just said, just have 5 minutes, Liam. I'm just have 5 minutes here, because I'm just going to take control here. So it just keeps the defences guessing all the time. And what Liam Finn does, he brings that calmness and that patience, and his kicking game is excellent and just takes the pressure off. And I will keep harping on about it. Whichever team has the best combination of the halfbacks who could take pressures off each other, you look at the way Hull are performing now with Liam Price and Sneed. Sneed's taken over that role when he's organising a lot better now. And then Liam Price steps in and says, listen, give me 5 or 10 minutes, I'll take over here. And it just keeps defences guessing there. And it's a pleasure to watch them. And you know what I'm like with halfbacks, they're the main players on the field, they're the ones who will take control. Yeah. Kurt Gidley, he didn't have a partner out there who could take that pressure off him. Okay, Radford, we know Sandor's out for a while, but yeah, Warrington, they still contributed to a quality game of rugby league this afternoon. They're not at the top of the league for nothing, and you look at the squad, what they've got, and players to come back, then they will have an issue. Yeah, it'd be disappointing for Torlin Smith, because he would have wanted, you know, a bit more of a buffer at the top of the league, but take nothing away from Wakefield Wildcats. They are a serious, serious top eight side this season.
Well, six in the table. I know Mark mentioned 3 wins off the top four, which I think is, or 2 wins rather, off the top four, which is probably pushing it a little bit. But if Wakefield get into the top eight, that's the job done, because they don't have to worry about planning for potential relegation or whatever. They can get on with recruitment for next year, and that's that's not a bad position to be in, is it?
I'll tell you what, mate, Wakefield are winning about the £1 million game this year. Not a chance. Not a chance. We all know last season, don't we, what it was all about. Every time we came at Wakefield last year to do the comments, it was all doom and gloom. Oh, no minutes matter now, we're waiting until after round 23 and then our season starts. That attitude's not here now. That sort of environment not here is now. This environment here is, I tell you what, come down here. Exactly what Chris Chester said about his team, you're going to see attractive rugby league, and he's not letting anybody down, and his players are not letting anybody down, and the supporters out as well with the appreciation what they're giving to his players.
And I'm guessing, you know, obviously they competed well today in the defeat against Hull a few weeks ago. They competed to a point. And next weekend, Magic Weekend, Catalan Dragons, the team are also top of the table with Warrington and Hull. So, you know, they'll be confident going into that one as well.
They'll be very confident, and you know, the big wide spaces is what that ground brings it as well. And I say the width, what they give, and you know, the passing game, what they look to play, that should be a cracker as well. It won a bad game down here a few weeks ago when they played the Catalans. So yeah, we're in for the cracker there, and one thing for sure, Wakefield aren't going there lacking confidence, and I tell you, they will fancy it, there's no doubt about that.
Yeah, I might have a couple of quid on Liam Finn to score this year, just in case he doesn't fall over. We'll talk about another team joint top of the table now, and Hull FC, and of course another team Dave Topolis has very fond memories of, you know, lifting the Challenge Cup and all that. But as much as we say about Warrington have been impressive and Cadillacs have been impressive, and you said it before the kick-off as well, Hull, great win on Friday night at Wigan, all the attention on the Warriors with the return of Sam Tompkins or whatever, and there was that wobbly bit in the second half, but Hull never really looked too worried about losing that game.
No, they didn't. And well, every team in every game, whatever they play, they're going to have a wobbly 10, 15, maybe 20 minutes, and that happened. But again, it just showed the spirit in that team, what Lee Radford has got now, and the enjoyment what the players again they're having. We're playing for each other from 1 to 17, and there's no doubt about it, Hull are the real deal. And these last two performances now, when we saw it last week against St Helens in the Cup, and Wigan's performance when, I say on Friday night, Hull are the real deal, and they are, for mine, they are the best two performances Hull have had under Radford, and he can just quietly see the confidence. He believes in his own team again, but it's the two halfbacks who are taking all the pressure off. They're coming up with the right calls when it's there to do. They've got mobility in the forwards, they've got creativity at time with the offload in the forwards. But one thing what Hull have got, and they had it many, many years ago under my great mate in David Topless, Rich, they've got pace. They have got people now in that side who could go 60, 70, 80 yards and score tries. So you talk about a balance of a team, they've got mobility in the forwards, they've got forwards who can make the hard yards, halfbacks who can create, and they've got pace in the back line. A well balanced team, and they are the real deal. It's as simple as that.
I mean, I've seen all three of the top three live in action now this season, and it's very difficult to pick apart which of these teams will go on to Old Trafford and lift that trophy, because it's such an open competition.
I tell you what, Rich, you know what? I'm going to make a big call here. We are going to see a different name on the Old Trafford.
That's what we want to see, isn't it? We want to see a different champion.
It is. Well, what I'm seeing so far this year now, we are going to see a different name on that trophy, and it's going to be either Warrington or Hull. That's what I'm predicting. It's going to be one at an Hull. That's going to be on the name of that trophy come Old Trafford time in the middle of October.
That'll be a superb grand final. Let's hope that comes to fruition. St Helens fourth in the table. They've won their last three Super League games in a row, but I guess we look back at that performance last week against Hull, and that is that the real St Helens? I don't know, but they'll be just happy to be above Wigan at the moment, I guess.
Yeah, they will. They're just happy again after what Hull did to them the week before, and I guess a win's a win. But no, I'm not confident with St Helens at all, Richie, to be honest with you. And okay, they got the win, but no, not for me. Okay, they're just getting to the top four, but if you look at the way Wigan are playing, they're pretty ugly at the moment. They're clueless. So I'm not having either of them two for Old Trafford. And as I mentioned, it's Warrington and Hull for me.
I'll look further down the table before we get to what everyone's waiting for us to talk about. Hull K, obviously, big win for them today over Widnes. Obviously, lots
what's
of...
What's got that finish up, Rich?
24-10. So lots of talk pre-match, obviously, tributes to Roger Millwood. And did it in the right way by picking up the win. And ninth in the table, three-point gap between themselves and the bottom three now. And getting close into Widnes, and that's another defeat for the Widnes Vikings.
Yeah, worrying times for Dennis Betts, but I say all the big thing today at the KC Lifestream Stadium, obviously, was the tributes, and rightly so to the little dodger himself and Mr. Millward. And yeah, the class what Hull considered have shown by the respect what they played for the great man, I think they could only just be applauded. And I'm sure in the dressing room, it's all about, you know, let's make sure we get the 2 points here for Roger, because as a person, as a player, as a captain, as a coach, absolute legend of that club. And I say the biggest respect they've shown, as I've mentioned before, is retiring in number 6 years. It can't get any more respectful from that. Hulkington Rovers got the 2 points and delighted for them. And tell you what, Rich, we're in for a cracking Magic Weekend now with some of these fixtures. With some of these fixtures and some of the confidence and what they do. Okay, forget about Leeds. I would say Widnes with their confidence, but the way Huddersfield are going, they were okay. They were okay against Cattle and Salford. You know, they still, you know, the good performance against St Helens. So I'll tell you what, we're in some cracking fixtures next weekend.
I mean, let's talk about Huddersfield now. Obviously, losing narrowly against the Catalan Dragons, 18 points to 16, but. As you say, 16 points to 14, rather, their performances have not necessarily been matched by the results in recent weeks, unlike Leeds, say, and two wins, obviously, over Leeds in the Challenge Cup and the Super League, and a narrow defeat at Catalans. They'll still be, I'm sure, have a level of confidence going into that game against St Helens, who they feel are definitely there to be taken apart.
Without a doubt. And, again, you know, it's just a two-point deficit there, and, you know, Huddersfield haven't been, you wouldn't say, walloped this season, and, yeah, they'll have plenty of confidence then. Certainly, the way we've seen them play over the last, you'd say, 4 weeks, you'd be asking the question, you know, why are Huddersfield second from the bottom? You know, whereas you look at Leeds, well, you can see why they're there, because they're rubbish. It's as simple as that. But Huddersfield are not rubbish at this moment in time, and they won't be frightened of St Helens at the Magic Weekend there, and so they shouldn't be, the way they've been performing.
Well, let's talk about Castleford first, because obviously disappointed a couple of weeks ago in Super League in that big win against Salford in the Challenge Cup when they had no players, a couple of players back in the side. To go to Headingley and score 50 points, I think that's probably the thing that pleased most of the supporters there, but it's the manner of the performance again, and they're inconsistent this year, and I've seen people say they'll be disappointed that they've underachieved, and that's correct, but to go there and pick up a win like that, well, it's priceless for their supporters.
Well, it is, it's their, from the supporters' point of view, it's their grand final, there's nothing better, you know, than turning the Leeds over, but it's the double they've done it, and it was aware that they did it as well. And tell you what, Rich, to be honest with you, because they bombed two or three tries in that second half too, it could have been an even more embarrassing scoreline for the Rhinos. Could have quite easily been in the late 60s and 70s, but take nothing away from Cass. The great thing with their coach is that he's not whinging about any, you know, the injuries. He's just told his players, let's get on with it. The team spirit, what he provides down at that team, the players love playing for Darrell Powell, and yeah, great result for them, and very embarrassing for the Rhinos.
Isn't the best thing that's happened recently in rugby league in terms of the rules, the one taking out the corner flag? Because Denny Solomona, and again at last week in the Challenge Cup and this week here at Headingley, it's just amazing the athletic ability of some of the wingers now in Super League.
It is, and well, we've seen one this afternoon as well in Kevin Penning. There's no better than him flying through the air and touching the corner flag. And the wingers, I'll tell you, they practice this in training, you know, when they get there and just practice the dive, and that's that sort of practice what they put in there. But yeah, it's got to be one of the best there, and it's great to see the wingers diving in and spectacular tries what we're seeing.
And if there's one thing that Castleford seem to have a knack of, certainly under Darrell Powell, it's finding these diamonds in the rough. And another one that's turned up is Gadwin Springer, who he's a monster, and he scored a try, and it's as inconsistent as they can be this year, Castleford. When they're on form, there aren't many teams that it's more of a joy to watch.
No, there's not. And again, just we wait for the like to throw the ball about a bit and ask plenty of questions, but also too as well, Rich, I'll throw another player in there, and that's Matt Makin. How good a player is he? You know, he's just raw, bald and hard and straight, and the same with Springer. You know, at times he's just unstoppable. Okay, that try he scored, you'd say soft defence from Leeds, but the determination and the commitment and enthusiasm he wanted to get over that whitewash can't be faulted. But yeah, Castleford, well balanced team, well coached, and they enjoy the environment playing under Darrell Powell.
You might not have seen this yesterday, but Keith Galway, Leeds put forward, tweeted a picture of him on the beach in Mallorca yesterday, enjoying a couple of days in the sun. I'm guessing that's not something necessary. Now, some people have been on Twitter and said, you know, it's good for the players, get away from things, you know, get their mind back on the processes they need to go through and so on and so forth. But I'm sure a lot of people also be looking at that picture and thinking, shouldn't you be all in training all week, all day, with the performances going on at the moment?
I'll tell you what, mate, we'll put that question to our great mate Phil Kaplan tomorrow, because Phil is sticking up for Galloway, saying, you know, it takes time to settle in. Well, it seems to be aware, well, if realistically, you know, going away and so yeah, I do know the Rhinos players have, I think, 4 days off the report back to training on Tuesday, but I think some of them players have got to take a long, hard look at themselves and realise they're not doing it. It's as plain, simple as that. And yeah, I'm going to be a little bit honest here, and you know, I do speak to a lot of Rhinos fans, and they're asking me a few questions about it. But let me just say this, Rich, that performance on Thursday night, and I'm going to explain the reason why I'm going to say this as well. It was quite simply gutless, clueless and rudderless. The reason why I say gutless, that pack of forwards, they have no purpose in their performance at this moment in time. Nobody's intimidated by the Rhinos anymore, so there's no guts up the middle. You talk about clueless. Well, realistically, the halfbacks and the backs can't really create anything unless that forward pack gets on top. But still, you know, they should still the experience what they've got there. When you look at, you know, I believe in Jordan and the quality got there. Maguire's just come back, and with Robbie Burrow, they should still be a little bit more asking questions of defences. So that's the reason why I'm saying they're clueless. And again, rudderless. And I've not mentioned his name many, many times this year, but yeah, boy oh boy, they wouldn't be rudderless if Mr. Sinfield was still playing out there. There's nobody in that Leeds team prepared to grab the bull by the horns and say, right, I'm going to be the leader in this team, I'm going to take charge. And that's the reason why I'm saying rudderless. So it's quite simple, the gutless, the clueless and the rudderless. And if the Rhinos players don't like the open knowledge, because I can tell you this, I would imagine in the dressing room this is exactly what Coach McDermott is saying to me, because if Mac has not been honest and open with them players, telling them exactly how they're playing, one thing for sure is going to happen, Richie. Them players are going to get McDermott the sack. Simple as that.
When the pressing was after the game, I think it was Jonathan Doidge who asked the question. I'm not 100% sure, and I can't remember his wording exactly, but he did ask Brian if the players are perhaps giving their all when they're out on the field. And I guess that's, if you ask a player that, that's possibly, I'm guessing, the worst thing you can accuse someone of, isn't it? Is not giving 100% in matches when you've gone over that white line. So I'll ask you, Gary, do you think the players are doing that?
Well, you wouldn't, would you say not giving 100%? Yeah, you'd say they're trying their best, but when the question's being asked for a little bit A boys here, when they're asking to put the body on the line, no, they're not doing that. No, it's quite simple. They're looking at each other and saying, well, why don't you do it? I don't want to do it. Why don't you do it? You do it. And this is what I'm saying. The gutless, the clueless and the rudderless. And if you don't like the open honesty, well, I'm afraid to say, take a long, hard look at yourself, fellas, because have a look at that league table. Have a look at that league table. You're at the bottom of the league for one reason, and you're the worst team in Super League at this moment in time. And I know the harsh words, but they're honest words, and I tell you what, all the Leeds fans are saying exactly the same. And I'm sure Brian himself, deep down, and I'm sure it will be said in the dressing room, you know, they can't come out into the press and tell them exactly what's been said and the honesty what will be in that dressing room, but I'm sure Brian McDermott will be saying to them players, ask a few questions of yourself, because quite simply, this is not good enough. Let's make 2 points of what's happened this season with two coaches. Look at Ree Radford after the witness event, 10 weeks ago now? The players themselves took it on. They took it on board to sort the mess out after that game. And look what's happened since. Look what Darryl Powell said about his players when they got embarrassed against Warrington about 6 weeks ago. And he said, this quite simply, he's not good enough. And if players don't want to be here, and if they don't want to perform for us, then I'll get rid of him. I'm afraid to say, Brian now has to be honest with his players and at times criticise his players openly, because if he doesn't, then them players are going to get him the sack. It's as simple as that.
And I guess there'd be plenty of coaches queuing up to take that job on if it was available, because there were plenty of people queued up to take the Wakefield job when they were bottom of Super League. So it's not as if it's an unattractive job, but... I'm guessing it's a culture issue then. That another popular buzzword in terms of in the dressing room, in the fact that if we go back to last year when they had everything on the line, 3 trophies at the last minute try, last second try at Huddersfield to win the League Leaders' Shield. There's obviously something has changed from the end of last year to this year in terms of how the players are thinking, or how not all the players, that's unfair, how some of the players are perhaps performing out on the field. I'm trying to think of the most polite way to say.
Well, another couple of things here, Rich, as well, right? They won the treble last year, and me, as you know what I am like with predictions, right? I believed in this league's team this year because I felt, the motivation for these players is quite simple. You know, we'll prove people wrong that we can handle it without our main man in Kevin Sinfield. Forget the two bookends, front rowers are easily replaced. It's as simple as that. But it's the main man himself in Kevin who they're missing. So the motivation for these players we'll prove people that's most certainly, we'll be consistent and try and finish the top of league, and whatever happens to the challenge could be, all depends on the draw, and then as I say, grand final, that's where everybody wants to be. But I don't think they can handle the pressure. I don't think they've handled the pressure of being the treble holders. Secondly, when you look at this team on paper, even the team on Thursday night, it's still a quality team. And again, this is what a lot of these fans are asking me. Scotty, when you look at that team, when you look at it on paper, that's not a bottom of the table team. Nowhere made whatsoever. So it's only in the dressing room, the players themselves will only know realistically what is wrong in that dressing room. So the answers are simple. They're not playing well enough. Whoever they want to play for the coach, one of the players can answer that. But one thing for sure, they're at the bottom of the league because they are the worst team in Super League. And now they're handling the pressure, they are not. And the big test for them now, as I've said now for the last 6 weeks, when is Leeds' season going to start? Well, I'll tell you what, the season now for Leeds has finished.
Well, I'm not even going to, because this whole Brian McDermott saying, mathematically top four and all that, because that's nonsense.
There's
3 wins behind Widnes now to get out of the bottom four.
Exactly. There's nine games to go, and even to make that top eight. So if Widnes win another 3 out of 9, that makes it 12, really. So Leeds now have got to go on a run of winning 17 games to get where they want it. So it's not going to happen. And with Wakefield winning today, with Cass winning there, it ain't going to happen. And everything now for the Leeds players is quite simple. It's all about pride, personal pride, and collectively as a team pride to see how far they can finish up in that league. And when you look at the next 4 fixtures, they've got Wigan at Magic, they go to Warrington, then they've got Carlands and Salford. Doesn't get any easier, Richie, does it?
No, and if we, if Leeds are in the bottom four, and you look at the top four in the Championship now, which is Lee, Winnersley at Oldham, London lost at Featherstone, so Featherstone into fourth, and Bradford, who have beaten Swinton in there as well. All those clubs would fancy taking Leeds on, just because, there's not going to be a bigger scalp, is there, than going to Leeds or having Leeds at your
Richie,
place?
Yeah, right. Richie, I've seen a little bit of the Championship this year, as you well know, and as I've just mentioned 2 minutes ago with this Leeds team, you look at that team on paper, there's nowhere made.
No.
Lee, London, Bradford, and let's say Featherstone finish at top four, nowhere made can they get the 2 points off the Rhinos. But, and it's a big but, the Championship teams will fancy playing Leeds. And then the question will be, do the Leeds players fancy against these Championship teams? Because they will be looking to rip into them, they will be looking to spoil them, and they will make sure that, they will be looking at the team sheet and they'll be thinking, we're not intimidated by these. The Rhinos, they will be tested, but there's nothing in the Championship that tells me that Leeds or Huddersfield, if Salford are going to be in there, or Hawkins or Rovers or Widnes, where they can win the £1 million game. Who would have thought? I tell you what, Rich, right? Leicester were 5,000-1 to win that Premiership. Who would have thought? What odds would it have been after 14 rounds now that Leeds Rhinos would have been bottom of the league? What odds would he got on that? And also, it's not out of the question where Leeds, maybe, or Huddersfield in the £1 million game. Very, 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 very strange. But as I say, the way Huddersfield are playing, you say to them, yeah, they've half a chance of the top eight. With Leeds, I'm afraid not.
Dean's tweeted saying we're talking too much about the Rhinos, so we'll have to stop talking about them now.
Is he a Leeds fan, is he?
He's a Wakefield fan.
All right, right. Well, we've played plenty about Wakefield. Quality, Dean. Simple quality.
And I guess, Huddersfield have announced a signing today from the NRL, and a player whose name I can't pronounce, I'm not even going to attempt it. But, I guess if you're a Leeds fan, and Phil mentioned this last week, announce a new signing now. Let's talk about 2017 and say, look, we've signed big name player from the NRL, come watch us next year, blah blah blah. Just because at the moment morale must be at an all-time low. I guess this is what, the worst Leeds team since the first season of Super League.
Oh yeah, you would say so, without a doubt. But
and again, it's not in terms of the players on the field.
Well, I want to know. In terms of performances, I would imagine the Leeds fans would be saying, "Can we have a new signing now? Can we have him in the team now?" That's what they'd be asking. Whether that philosophy would convince the Leeds fans, I'm not so sure. They're usually disappointed where they've not even put up a fight, have they, to defend the three trophies. It's usually disappointing for them, and I can understand the Wakefield fan there. We're going about Leeds, but I won't be for sure. Wakefield fans, Cass fans, Hull fans, Hulkia, every fan in Rugby League will be delighted what's going on to Leeds. And at the end of the day, it's all about the players, and they've got to start performing. It's as simple as that.
You'll be happy anyway, because Keithley have won this afternoon.
Delighted. Well done, Keithley. Well done, boys.
Battered Hemel. And, of course, we'll see them at the Summer Bash in a couple of weeks, looking to win that iPro Cup. And Keithley in the league table, up into second now.
So, also, as well, Rich, Mark Wilson's back. So do you want to find out what's been selling the...
Mark Wilson, what has been said in the press?
There you go, seamless link there, seamless. I've just been listening to Scully rattle on, I was quite enjoying it. The first question I've got, he spelt it wrong again, didn't he?
I know, I've got the clip, don't panic.
Yeah, he spelt it wrong again. You really are.
And the singing.
You really are terrible at spelling. Regardless of that, Chris Chester labelled it his best win as coach here at Wakefield. He was asked in the presser how high he thinks they can go. He said, look, it's one game, keep winning. Once we know we're in the eight, then we'll worry about where we finish in that eight itself. But fantastic, proud. He said he was proud of the performance today. He said he thought when Clark went through, that was it, good night. But when Bishop got over at the end, he said that, look, it's the most emotional he's been as Wakefield coach. Spoke to Michael Carter as well. He was delighted, absolutely delighted. He also made reference to the Darryl Clark drop and said he couldn't believe it when he put that down. So he's happy as well. Spoke to Stuart Pearce off the mic. The former England player was here watching Warrington. He just try and get to watch him as much as he can.
He's a Warrington fan, isn't he?
He is. He was here. I don't think he was in the posh seats either. I think he was soaking up the atmosphere at Bellevue.
Hang on, what posh seats?
He says it was a great game and loved it. Another great game of rugby league. So he was happy with that. And all good, really. All good. Yeah, everyone's happy. The atmosphere today is what you'd want it to be at your club. The question now of the Wakefield pub, it's not a criticism. You've got to come and watch this side play, because whether there's a loss or not
today. Chuck those Rhino shirts in the bin, send them to the charity shop.
Whether they're lost or not today, the effort, commitment they put in, and the skill on show was there for everyone to see. And, look, this is not a place you can come. They've put points on the big boys here. They're not frightened. And
what about Tony Smith, man? What's he saying?
I didn't see Tony. We'll hear from him later on Radio Yorkshire, but I didn't speak to him. Matt, our colleague, spoke to him, but it was what it was.
I think throughout the full 80 minutes, he's got to say Wakefield deserved the win.
Yeah. I think there were one or two people asking why the youngster Smith didn't start, because he actually looked all right at half-back, didn't he, when he came on? Yeah. Maybe, I think Gidley looked a little bit isolated
help.
At times.
He needed help out there, as I've mentioned, and I'll keep mentioning. You've got to have a half-back partners who will complement each other, where Gidley's the main man there, and just exactly like Jacob and Azale, and Liam Finn says, just give me 5 minutes, I'll take over the reins now. Kurt Gidley didn't have that this afternoon.
No, he didn't. And I just look at it... impressive, all-round impressive performance today. Yeah, they had to hang on a bit at the end, Wakefield, but you know what? It just added to the excitement. Not often you have to win a game twice, Gary, but they won it twice today, didn't they?
They did indeed, but you had to feel sorry for it as well, because Kevin Penny, this hamstring here, they all have, it was good read from Wakefield, but we were going down his side, and but why they didn't bring him off, what, we literally 3 minutes ago, and that's in the end where they won the game with Ben Jones-Bishop. But as I said to Richie in the studio there, Mark, you know, the spectators here, they respect what they're giving the players, the standing ovation what they're giving them, and at the end of the day, it's quite simple, they're enjoying attracting quality rugby league, and that's all they can ask for. And, they've got a team here now. How do you spell team? I won't try again for the second time this afternoon, but they've got a team here now who want to play for Wakefield, want to put that shirt on, want to play for the chairman, want to play for the coach.
8 wins in 9.
And also, too, want to give something back to the supporters.
8 wins in 9. Big game next week. They're playing the Dragons. Yeah, we saw them here, didn't we, under Brian Smith, and they gave them 26 start and ended up, that was what cost them in the end, but I tell you what, that could be a cracker next week.
It will be a cracker, and you know, the way that Wakefield are, the way they like to throw the ball about a bit, because they won't try and take Callans up in the middle because of a big pack of forwards, but they'll get the ball away from the ruck area. Good organisation again from Miller and Finn and Munford. They've got pace out wide, haven't they? Jones Bishop can run. We've seen what Jowett can do. Johnson, I tell you what, I'd love to see Johnson go 80 yards next week.
Well, he did last year against Cass.
So he gets the opportunity. So, and I've just said to Rick Stowe earlier, what fixes we've got next week at the Magic, haven't we?
Well, I made a comment to our friends from Warrington who are covering the game for them. When you saw the fixtures probably 6 weeks ago, you thought, oh, these fixtures don't look very good. You look at them now and they've all got a bit of something. You know, Huddersfield back to a bit of form there, take on St Helens, who are wobbling a little bit. You know, Castleford were out of form, two good wins there, taking on, you know, Warrington, who looked a bit scratchy today, didn't they?
There's all a bit of purpose in the fixes, isn't there?
Yeah.
You know, you look at, let's say, the big one in Leeds and Wigan, both out of form, they're also desperate for the points. Wigan's to keep tabs on the top, Leeds to try and make that top eight there, and the big Hull derby, as you can see, you know, the way that Hull are playing, they'll be looking to put the scoreline like they did in the friendly to embarrass the neighbours there, and the fixtures now.
It's going to be a belting weekend.
Now, they've all got the purpose, and I tell you what, Marty Russell at fullback there, if we're dancing like Marty Russell does without footwork, I tell you what, we're in for a magic weekend, Matt Wilson.
Yeah, I can't wait. Rich, have you cancelled his room? He can go on the bus. That's all I can say is I'm glad I'm not sharing with you next week, but we'll see.
That's a bit harsh.
Not at all.
It's
not
a bit harsh. Rich, what are you dancing to next week? Is it Duran Duran or Bay City Rollers? What Mark Wilson's dancing to?
Oh, more 80s, less 70s.
Yeah, there you go. I don't even know what he's on about. Rich, I mean, you must be delighted. You know, 8 wins in 9 for Wakefield and a fantastic run of form at the minute. I mean, it's a pleasure coming to watch them now. It is. It's a pleasure coming down here to watch them at Bellevue. And please, for Michael Carr, I know we say it every week, we're big fans of his. He comes, he's a fan of the station, and we're happy for him. And he was delighted today. I know he just nipped down, didn't he, between the gates. I could see you looking. Look, he shouldn't, you know, you don't think he should be out there. He's congratulating his players. They're a team on and off the field here.
Yeah, I agree totally, but I'd like to see that done, you know, behind closed doors.
You're a misery. Because your team that you coach always get beat, you never actually had that, did you? Where whenever the chairman came down to see you on the pitch, probably to give you the tin tack.
All chairmen just say to me, well, you've got the OBE out before Easter. One of them did it. One of them gave me the OBM out before March. But anyway, now I'd like to see that behind closed door, as I've said it before, with the great doctor does it, and he does it at times at Castle, Steve Gill. So,
you've been a misery.
I don't think I am. I just think, you know, behind closed doors and that sort of it. But Wolfie for sure was great as well. Tony Smith stood there and applauded the Wakefield players. That's the sort of character Tony is, isn't he? He appreciates good, attractive, open rugby league. And
well, you know, you've watched a decent game score when out goes and everyone's still in the ground and everyone's clapping their team off, whoever won and lost.
Absolutely. And then I say, there's all Mucker back in the studio there in Richard Shaw, right? Well, he'll be buying 2 or 3 shirts now, won't he? He'll be buying one for every day of the week.
He will.
Speaking of our friend Dr. Marlon, you see he's opened a new restaurant.
Yeah, I saw that,
15% off if you sign a declaration that you hate the RFL. Is he expecting another fine now?
Are you kidding?
Yeah, no, he has, yeah. That's genuine, yeah, he has. Interesting. Interesting from...
He's absolutely bonkers, isn't he?
The food looks all right on the website, but he's not paying us to promote it, so I'll leave that alone. Yeah. Gentlemen, I'll let you get off, and we shall speak to you again tomorrow night, obviously.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Obviously, we're all, you know, we're going up to the Magic Weekend press launch tomorrow in Newcastle, so we'll have all the reaction from that. We're picking the bones out of the weekend. I think Phil Kaplan's Leeds excuses have run dry.
Matt Wilson, Richard Shaw Wright, we are ripping into Phil Kaplan tomorrow. And he's just told us here, Matt, he's just told us, Keith Galloway has tweeted a picture of himself on the beach in Mallorca. Phil Kaplan has been telling us Mr. Galloway has been struggling because he's taking time to settle in. He's getting ripped in tomorrow.
Fair enough, Rich. I can't really enhance on that, can I?